This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough. That's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time, though? The Liverpool not have those elements of that team.
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7:30 a.m. only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app.
The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
Now, delighted to welcome to studio David Brady, who will be the subject of Lake Regale on the 2nd of April. And we thought we'd bring you in for a chat. Hello. Did you speak Irish in the Lake Regale?
A couple of fucking. To sketch me arm, August, or no snuggery. I spoke.
Were they even words at the end that you said there? I don't know.
Do you not know Irish?
Or do you?
You know what? I had a passion for Irish in school. And nearly part of the programme has brought me back. No, I don't speak any Irish in the programme.
I think we've picked up on that already.
They were all meaningful words.
Were they?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It was an adjective I used to use for every sentence in school, or Nosna Guiha.
Run like the wind.
As fast as the wind.
Now we're going.
Yeah.
But it's coming back to me.
And you know what? Look, it is an Irish language programme, an Irish language station, yeah. TG Carr, but I think it's good. It's good. But it's hard enough to understand me in English. Never mind Irish.
Lake Regale, 2nd of April. So when does all this come about? They give you a call. This is like getting into the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. It is. Because I don't know do I deserve it. As such, there's a lot better footballers that's been out there for the last 30, 20, 40 years. But it was an honour. I googled what Lake Regale means. It's kind of local community hero. And for me, it's not... I try to tell the story not about David Brady, but I suppose my community. Mm. And it is more than an honour. Like, I'm in there with some man says...
Some heavyweights.
Yeah. And look at it. It's you have Kieran Donaghy in there and you have Alan Brogan on the football side. And, like, them guys can spend the day counting medals. And I don't know, is it all about medals? And
that's it's not. That's the point. It's also about the impact you make, the contribution you make, what you stand for, what you represent.
It's not me. I don't think. It's what I think with others.
It's a bit you. It's a bit your personality.
Yes.
What you brought to the whole picture.
When you're playing inter-county football for 15 years, whether it's club or county, you have a story to tell. And look, at mine's a little bit different from everyone else's. But I think there's even talking to Kieran and Alan last week, it's a very personal story. And it's about not how you became a footballer, but what made you and the things that shaped you. And like the first call I got, it was from the guys in TG Carr, and it's Nembatron, who is the company that makes them. Look, it's an unbelievable programme from a GA person's perspective, because I watched Kieran Duff's last year and you're going, fantastic. You're going... What you think you know about the man is totally different from what reality. And look, if people have an opinion of me, they mightn't change when the programme comes out. But it's not all about the ball. Yeah. And I got the call. I was actually, last April, I was in Spain. And I think it was one of the boys that rang and left a message. I went, Jesus Christ, Lake Regale. And it's not like the whole, it's an honour.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a medal that I didn't win, but it's nice. And you have to take the decision then. Am I going to... I come in here talk about GA. It's not all... I don't give any of my life away.
Yeah.
I was given a little bit of that, and I had to talk to Lisa, my wife, to say, you know, do we open ourselves up to this? And, you know, do we include our kids, our family, our home and our environment, and... You're giving a lot of yourself away personally, and I don't like that, but I committed to it. And sure, I spill me guts.
But it worked, and it added to it. And you know what as well? That's a lovely thing to have for posterity.
Look, it is. And that was the main thing to say, look, in 50 years' time, DB will be dead and gone. But for my kids to say, well, actually, Jesus, that's what he was mad about, and that's why he was done crazy about
that
football.
That explains the end.
Yeah, yeah. But, it's nice to have. And it's I'm going back, it's an honour. I don't see it about me. I see it about my community, what influenced me, kept me in the straight and narrow, and it's all back to a round ball in GA. And
what's very apparent in it, so we'll talk about some of the stories from your career as well, but what's very apparent in it, and what I knew was the case already, is the importance you put on Mayo football, what it means to the Mayo community. Sometimes I think we over-exaggerate the personality of counties, but there absolutely is something particularly special about Mayo and Mayo people, I have found. It's a county blighted by immigration. There's rural isolation now. And there is something about it is football mad. And it's almost the only outlet sometimes for a lot of people who've left to come back and come together.
Without a doubt. And, you know, we're no different, I don't think. But yes, we have a different story to tell. Mm. We're no different to the Clares or the Galways or the Donegals or, you know, the Limericks of this world. But to a degree we are, because them four teams have had success.
Yeah.
They've got to the...
Yeah, maybe like, know, maybe the extra layer is how many times you've got to finals and come together and all that stuff, yeah.
It doesn't, man says, it brings us closer. Mm. And it gives us, I always say, never give up on your dreams and your hopes and your aspirations. And from a GA perspective, every single Mayo person, man, woman and child, can kind of grasp onto that. Mm. And it is a community thing. And it is a very local, but it's a family thing as well. And look, if I'm ringing home this evening, I'm not talking to my father about
his feelings.
The Dow Jones going down 1,000 points.
Yeah.
And the Nasdaq being, you know.
You're talking about Tim O'Leary and Tim O'Leary only.
We're still talking about Monaghan. We're still looking forward to Kerry. We're looking at St. Jesus. Is Tyrone could be our only option. And
so is that how you and your family trade?
To a degree, yeah. But that's what connects us. Mm. You know, that's from my father. He's in his 60s, coming 70 this year. But that's what we understand. Mm. And that's probably a lot of growing up for me. It was always, always, always football. Mm. But it's, for me, football, there's more to football than just the game. It's what you get out of it.
Because I wondered if this was going to be, this Lake Regale was going to be a story of 5 All-Ireland finals with Mayo, 1 draw, 4 losses, the heartache story. And it's not the heartache story at all.
And I went in saying, this is not about that bloody story.
Yes, tell us your pain. Tell us your pain, David.
And I'm going, you know what? And they're going, no. But you know what? I have to say, I was a bit taken aback about the amount of time and research. And, you know, I went down to Nemotron in Waterford, who make the production for TG Carr. And Jesus, Jimmy Duggan is the producer. And Sarah is also working on the programme. But you're going, I was 5 hours constant. And there was question after question, or this and that. And I'm going, I'd have confessed to murder afterwards. That's the truth. I was like...
They broke you.
Broke me. But I was going, and it actually came out. I said, Jimmy, hold on a second. I don't remember about the day, or the game, or the kick, or the... I said, football is nearly irrelevant. Because I don't.
Yeah.
And even for the good times. And I'm going, I don't remember anything about the game.
So for you, football is the vehicle.
And... You know what, the passengers on it are the most important thing.
So who are the passengers for you then? You know, who are the ones that are there?
As in for me personally?
Yeah.
I always go back and it's... And people need to be very cognizant of it. And we're all... You were 14, you were 10. You were 10 years of age at one stage. And William Butler Yeats, there's a poem, I don't know it, but I know the line, "Tread softly on my dreams." Mm. And for me, it... And I say it, that the under 10 town league final in 1984 was the greatest sporting event I was ever at. The town league final was Ballina split into four teams. United, Fitzgerald's, Pat's. Mm. And the Quay. I played for the Quay. I'm from the Quay.
Yeah.
And I never... For me, there was... There must have been 88,000 people at it as a 10-year-old. Mm. But it lit something in me to say, you know what? We won 2-1. But I'm going back to tread softly on my dreams. My manager, my coach, the teacher in the school from the Quay School, St. Oliver Plunkett's, where I went, was Hugh Lynn. Massive, massive influence. Mm. And you can say your career, but it's your life.
We all have those people growing up, don't we?
And you know what? The people that are in them situations do not realise the effect.
No.
They don't.
No. We never go back and tell them. You got to a little bit with this, but most of us never go back.
Yeah.
I haven't gone back.
I remember, and I played rugby at the same time, and I'll never forget a guy called Mr. Dunn. He was around 10, 11, 12, that age. Don't ask me where he's gone. He was from Limerick. I think he had a daughter called Quiva Roisin, or maybe a son, Dara. I don't know. And I've kind of asked someone not so long ago, did you ever know where Mr. Dunn went?
Yeah.
But he taught me rugby as well. But you're going at that age, they're so influential. And for Mr. Lynn, for me, he never really taught me anything about football. It was nearly how to conduct yourself. Or after a game, I'll never forget it. If you got the hug off him and he'd lift you about 2 foot off the ground, well, you felt as if you were 22 foot. Hmm. He didn't say you did this well, you did that well. You got, and he'd lift you up as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
But going back and going around town and beeping the horns and hanging out windows and one or two cars probably had sunroofs. We didn't manage. They were the rich fathers. But down the Quay,
that
was, and it still is, in the whole spark that created my life.
It's hard to beat that. I guarantee you it was sunny that day as well somehow.
And 2-1, I scored. It was the start of my scoring career. I scored a point. A guy called Billy McAvoy.
Yeah.
I think Billy was kind of half English. He'd moved over from England or something. He was one of the Lochneys.
Yeah.
You don't know the Lochneys, but for me, it was one of the local. Yeah. And Tommy Joyce then scored a point for United. Mm. 2-1. And United was part of, we call it, kind of back to Park, which is where my grandfather was from. So it was kind of that, the Park versus the Quay. And man says Gerald O'Hora, who was Mr. United, was two doors down from my aunt. And it was just, like, for me, it was the greatest. Yeah.
I know Ballina a bit. My mother's from Ballina, so I kind of know the Quay and I've been around. And you...
Whereabouts is your mother from?
Farn Morgan, so between Ballina and Enniscrone.
So if you go Farn Morgan, that's where my father's from.
Right.
So he's really a Sligo man.
He's hanging on.
Your mother is really a Sligo woman.
Well, don't say that to her.
Don't say that to Willie Brady either. It's kind of Farrah Morgan, Farrah Noo.
Because I mean, and the Quay, you know, you paint these lovely pictures of fishing and you know, boats coming in, and it's just kind of idyllic, and when men were men, and you know, good, honest, long as the day work.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of environment.
What's your mother's name?
Munnally, it would have been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Munnally, down that road.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Paddy and Teresa Munnally were her parents.
All right.
But I was going to say as well, I do remember on Enniscrone Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Where Liam McHale will still swim with his dog, I'm sure, 5 a.m. or whatever. But so I remember mid-90s when this kind of gorgeous Mayo team comes on the scene, and you've John Casey, Mayo's answer to Jason Sherlock, and like, you're on the scene, you've got McHale, you've got Nallon, Colin McMenamin, the first roving all-rounder. But I remember, you know, seeing the Valley of Diamonds, sand dunes.
I ate it.
And the word was... There's not a night the Mayo footballers have not been up and down the Valley of Diamonds.
Well, there was a night there wasn't a part of me left on it, because it was torture.
Yeah.
Torture. Like, and
you're not allowed up there anymore.
No.
I figure ye ruined it.
We actually, John Mahan, really, to be honest with you. blame John. But yeah, it was like, it's, and look at what we're talking about here is memories. Mm. And these memories, myself and John Casey, I was either in Charlestown from under 21 when I progressed. I never played minor. And then
Martin Carney, it's one of the scandals in Mayo football. Martin Carney did not select David Brady for minor.
He was an absolute disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
And I remember coming home in the car after not getting picked. And I effed and I blinded, and I had every reason in the world to say, actually, it was my own fault,
right,
not Martin Kearney's, but I wasn't mature enough.
Mm.
And look at what man says as years goes on, but
sorry,
it was...
Now. But sorry, John Casey, I've interrupted you.
Yeah, look, we had the fun and the crack and like...
He was electric when he came on the scene as well.
He's mad as a box of frogs too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like he had football as well in him.
Mm.
And class, it was just... But it was like... I've looked back on Locker Gales. I've seen, look at John O'Mahony's, I've seen Liam McHale. And I'm going, Liam actually said that when this under-21 team... came.
Which was your team, beaten in two All-Ireland finals.
94, 95.
Yeah, Cork and Kerry.
Yeah. And we came in like, for all intents and purposes, the boys in United. We were the men.
We were the class of 92. Right.
And it was that. And look, we had a certain amount of cockiness as well. We were going into guys, like, when I was growing up, like when, in 1989, when we all got to the final, I'm 13, 14 years of age. But I had Teddy hanging out. Liam McHale. Like, 7 years later, I was playing an All-Ireland final with him.
Mm, midfield together.
I'll never forget them coming home at around fucking 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and seeing, like, Jimmy Brown was the captain, and seeing them on the truck up at the bus station, train station. Like, there are things that are imprinted in your mind.
Mm.
And you know what? I didn't know what I wanted to be growing up, but I wanted to be a footballer.
Mm.
Now, when I got my act together, I was not a bad footballer. But that's what I wanted to be. That's the only thing I could grasp.
Mm.
A local man for me, and I'm going back to your community, Eddie Melvin in 1978, won an All-Ireland minor medal. By Jesus, it was like living beside David Beckham. He was four doors down originally from our house.
Mm.
I wore his jersey when I was four or five, it was four or five, whatever. Man above. He could walk on water. And that's, I took that when I developed and I became a player, that you have these young kids, these young people looking up to you.
Mm. Of the four finals, so Meade 96, Kerry 97, Kerry 2004, and Spot the Pattern, Kerry in 2006, is Meade still the one that absolutely got away? That was the chance, that first day in particular, Colm Coyle's point bouncing over the bar.
Sure, look it. Of course it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let it drop, will you? I've let it go.
Have you let it go?
I had.
How often would you think about that game? Genuine question. How often would it come into your mind, cross your mind once a day?
Honestly, and I'm telling you the truth,
yeah,
and I don't know, am I touched? That game never comes into my mind. But Mayo and GA, every single day.
Mm.
Of my life.
So why do you think that is? Why do you
not? How
have you managed to compartmentalise it and leave it
away? You
know what?
It's so much about life.
Okay.
It's so much about life. And it's the greatest lesson or the greatest book ever I got by serendipity to learn what defeat is, or to take the positives out of it, or to remember the good times and to say, you know what? Jesus, I never have a minute's arrow with Mayo GA. And it's the positives, the good. Looking forward to it. I'm going down to Mayo now on Saturday. And geez, I can't wait.
Mm.
And so will half of feckin' Dublin.
Mm.
Mayo people going down. And the crowd, no matter how bad things are in Mayo. Look, we have to be honest and we have to be critical.
Yeah.
And we have to tell the truth. But you'll always, always say it next week.
Yeah.
Next year. Next month.
Mm. In 2004, and this is touched on in the Lakewood Gael as well, this is more the Kieran McDonald Mortimer's era. So you don't start the 2004 final, and you address that. And your brother, Jer, in the piece says that you and Mon had a love-hate relationship. Is that right? Is that how you describe it?
I wouldn't say love-hate. And I was, look at, I was pretty adamant too that I talk about Hugh Lynn. And I go up through my club manager, Martin Sheridan, under 14, under 16. We won two county titles, great times.
Mm.
I had Martin Kearney, brilliant. Absolutely phenomenal. Every game we ever played afterwards, Martin had always write to you. Always.
Sorry, write to you?
Yeah, a note. Not every game, but every important game, every final, definitely. You'd have the note from Martin Kearney and family. Gina Lawrester.
To say what?
Good luck.
Really?
the whole thing is, these people never forget. And it's it still means something to them. Yeah. And for me, it'll still mean something to me when I'm 60 or 70. And I'll maybe in the position to write to someone that I managed. And you always say it's horses for courses, but you're kind of going, they're good people. Mm. And John Mahan was the first man that brought me onto the Mayo team. And I'll be forever indebted for him. Now, love, hate. Look, we talk about it in the film, I think. People make mistakes. Mm. I probably make mistakes, but John definitely made a mistake. Mm. And I go back and I say, as the one thing, you do not gamble with Mayo football.
And he took a risk in saying, well, you'd come off the bench again for Manna, I think it was, and you'd played extremely well in the quarter-final. So I'm not sure why you were left off against Fermanagh, what the issue was, but the risk as it was billed against Kerry was, will hold you back on the bench. That's the gamble, when you say gamble.
That's the gamble.
Okay. Did he ever explain the gamble?
No.
Really?
No. And I didn't answer. I knew the gamble. He didn't have to answer to me.
Yeah.
But sure, the gamble didn't work. We've gambled since, and it didn't work.
Because at half-time, they've a clip in it where Michael Lester turns to Brolly and O'Rourke and says, this is already a murder scene. Like, it was obliteration. The gamble, absolutely. When you came on, I mean, it was long over. But I don't understand. I still don't understand why he didn't start you.
Look, you have to. You're hoping and wishing that you're still in the game.
Mm. But you start with your best team.
Jesus. Yeah. You start with your best team.
Mm.
And you finish with your strongest. That's not always your best. It might be your, you know, the legs,
yeah,
the mind, the strategy.
Mm.
But, and look, man says, it's, I still have a height of respect for John.
So if you meet each other now, there's no coldness there.
I've broken teeth, arms, jaws, legs, the whole lot. People have broken them on me, I haven't broken theirs, but the thing is, whatever happens between the white lines of life, I leave it there.
Right.
And that should be with a lot of football and a lot of sport.
Yeah.
We all have different lives to live and roles to lead when you're off the white line. If I met him on Saturday night in Castlebar, I'd make him buy me a pint.
And then walk off.
Yeah, and then go.
I guess the high point for you in some respects must be, so off 04 and that loss to Kerry, is 05 and Stephen Knight's winning the All-Ireland. That's kind of magic. They play your interview.
Oh, Jesus.
Post-match. Do you remember that?
Oh, sure, I've heard it. Yeah.
And it's amazing, actually, in the kind of throes of passion when you reveal the truth of what you think. Because you say in the interview, you talk about, you know, what these young lads, Ballina, amazing, brilliant, and you say, I've been a loser all my life. You know, you let that slip. That was there. That came from somewhere. Been a loser all my life. I'll die happy now.
Mm.
It's Hogan Stand today.
Mm.
Oof, that's weighed off.
It is. But I always knew it would have come.
You'd been in 7 All-Irelands at that stage through one way or another.
Yeah, but I always knew, and I'm not cocky, but I always knew, self-confidence-wise, that I was going to win one. And I said it, probably not openly and off the ball back in 2005, but I said it to people direct and report. I said, you know what, don't worry about it. I was confident.
Did it live up to what you'd hoped it would be after 7 defeats?
You know what, let me tell you. We still do, Jesus, and we talk as we get closer to a final in September, and we have talked to it over a coffee or a pint and saying, Jesus, hey, what will it be like? With some crack. With the thing will just go absolutely. But you know what? It's like an air of pure and utter bliss.
Mm.
You're actually, I can't describe the feeling.
Because I've heard others, like Conor Deegan, who's won 2 of them, Down. And he, I remember being out talking to Conor one day, and he was saying, I was just similar chat, you know, what was it like? Looked like great fun from afar. And he was saying, euphoria for 40 seconds. Euphoria.
Yeah.
And then almost in the showers afterwards saying, is that it? For him, it was an anticlimax.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when we Mayo do win it. Mm. But it's like, I've always said it, that we don't realise how lucky we are as people in sport to be on the journey we've been on. And crossing that line is not a massive difference to the fun and the crack and the camaraderie and the trips and the journeys and the stories that's already been had.
Like, Mayo supporters are up there, as they're billed as the unlucky ones, and all the hurt and all the pain. They've had the best ride of most counties for 20 years.
People don't realise it. Man says, we're the ones that's having the laugh.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah. And so the Ballina experience, winning that All-Ireland, did you kind of, are you walking in air for a few weeks then?
I don't know. I do ask, and I'm lucky enough to have, you know, met a lot of good people over my career that won the senior All-Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, Jesus. But to go back amongst my own, our own neighbours, friends, family, like, there's hardly a supporter in the stand with 20,000 people that you don't know.
Yeah.
And back to Ballina. And it was just, there was, look at, I was 30-odd at the time. And then there's the fellas that are 20-odd, and you're going, Jesus, boys, you're Don Juan's now, without a doubt. Mm. And it was just, we had fun.
Mm.
And look, there was no one, you know, across the line to a degree. I can't tell them stories. But it was just special people.
Mm.
Special people. And, you know, man says, and I've said it about club, that you carry each other's coffin.
Mm.
The clubs carry each other's coffin. And we will, with the help of God, in many years to come, carry each other's in some way, shape or form. Mm. Or carry it for someone.
Mm.
And that's what club is. And it's the most defining thing, that you go to yourself, the looking in the eye of the guys of my club team back then. Because we got absolutely, in 1997 we lost a club final. We had 70-odd percent possession, we were 9 points up.
Is this Cross McGlen?
98 Cross McGlen final.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, you should have won that one.
But
the only time they went ahead was at the end.
It was the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
But you know what? They knew what to do and they knew how to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm still going, there's a path. I'm convinced, whatever sins I had in life, that God said, look it, let him on that slip road there and down to the club success.
Who were your best mates in the Mayo team? Who do you love when you bump into now?
You know, it's hard to bump into each other. Myself and JSE, Jalen Casey, we're inseparable. And then Ginger. And
who's Ginger?
Ginger is I'm no fresh DB. It was David Tiernan in Charlestown.
Right.
And he kind of came in.
Because this is funny. Is he, Brady and Charlestown have a. Because my dad's Charlestown.
Is he?
Yeah, so I'm a good feel for the two.
If I wasn't in Ballina, I was in Charlestown. And Ginger came in and I said, look at Ginger, you're a fresh fish. And he turned around. Ginger's a tough bit of stuff now, red hair. He said, I'm no fresh fish, DB. I'm going, you know what I mean. Mm. But it was like that crew and. We all kind of went together then, the Kenneth Morts. And, but then I had the next generation of, you know, David Heaney, Alan Dillon, you know, Ashti, Kevin O'Neill. Like, we went back and got back together in 2014 for John Morrison this year. Oh, man. To walk into that dressing room.
Euphoria, I'd say.
It was just going, by Jesus, boys, we had some crack.
Yeah.
We had, it was the 10 years, wasn't it? Yeah, well, 2004.
Yeah.
Like 16 years, Jesus Christ, time is flying.
Yeah.
But it was like some fun. And Mac D was as bronzed as ever.
Jeez,
yeah.
What a man.
Yeah.
Explain him to me.
I look at his man says, he's...
Is he an introvert? Is he quiet?
He's, you know what? From the outside in, people think, but Mac is Mac.
Yeah.
We the one thing about football, and I think it's across the board in Mayo, we never try to figure each other out.
Mm.
Because you know what, we're still trying to figure ourselves out.
Well, he still looks great as well. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still wondering, could he do a job for 10 minutes?
Well, sure, look at it. We all wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat thinking when Mance is about to go out. Mance play the biggest game of our lives.
Mm. Were you close with Mikhail? That midfield
Liam.
Partnership, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. And look at
two Ballina boys, you know.
You go from hero in 1989.
Yeah, he's not that old.
But, and like, we used to, we went to training every single night together.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, John Kenny, it was the county PRO.
Yeah.
So the PRO picked us up.
Where'd you train? Castlebar, you trained?
We trained Ballinat to Castlebar. So John Kenny picked us up. He was a PRO. Fancy, fair play to him. He still gave us mileage. Sure, Liam couldn't drive. Liam got a car then in 96. And sure, I had to drive it, or one of the boys, Morris, in town had to drive it.
Why couldn't he drive?
But sure, he couldn't drive.
He didn't know how?
No, and he got a job with a car. And it was, I think it was with a total health and safety, but right. Like, Jesus, we soldiered together.
Okay, so you and Mikhail would have had those chats after training, how we go and how we do.
Oh, yeah, and look at sizing opposition, sizing each other up, and I'd knock lumps out of them at training. Mm. But it was, I was the new kid in the block.
Sure.
But it was, like, we played club and...
So when you were lining out in midfield with him, that's, like, brothers-in-arms kind of territory.
Oh, Jesus, you know what? One of the luckiest things in my career is that I played with Liam McHale for 7 years. Mm. And then I played Ronan McGarrity 7 years. But I have to say myself and Liam had a telepathic understanding.
Did you?
Oh, man, I knew every inch of his game and vice versa. Mm. Now, I did the work. In all fairness.
Be under no illusion.
Yeah. In all fairness, I had the pick. He had the rake.
What kind of a blow is it to you personally then? Or how quick, when you see him get sent off with Colm Coyle, you must know for him that is devastation. That
it
must
is.
Have hit you.
But sure, we were playing a bloody county final 2 weeks later for Ballinlough Stephenites against Knockmore. Oh, and all these things are going through my head.
Did he miss that game?
He missed the county final.
Because suspension?
Yeah.
Ah, for God's sake.
And let me tell you, maybe. And it is, it's, look, at as I say, Ballinlough Stephenites won an Ireland medal. I still have it at home, but for me, the players that represent Ballinlough in 98 and after and before won a medal as well. Mm. Unfortunately, Liam, it wasn't on the pitch.
No, if ever somebody deserved
it. But look, man says, as a Stephenite, he got it. Mm. But, yeah, the 2 weeks, you go, oh, Jesus. And I remember the night, we had one or two nights after the county final. Man, the two of us just... He was upset. Mm. I think I talk about it. Like, he was very upset. There was tears.
He still is. If you bring up that now...
Oh, Jesus, he's still bitter.
You're very magnanimous about the whole thing and life's bigger. And I'm sure Liam is too. But if you bring up that day, that decision, which in hindsight, how he picked two players out of that mob... But that still is very raw for him, I think.
I don't mean to curse, but shit happens.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, it happened to Liam McHale.
Exactly.
It didn't happen to David Brady or Joe Mullay. Mm. And he's the one. It's okay for me or you, but it happened to him. Mm. And as the man says, I haven't the scar, but Liam still has. Mm. And I fully respect anything or his opinion about it. I'm totally the opposite. We had some crack. Some crack. There was a bar in Ballinlough called Timmy's.
Right.
And...
Is that your place?
It was our place, our den. And Jesus, would you believe it? Now, look at that. I have to hide the respect for them. Not a team called Loughmore that bet us in the county final. Didn't they come into Timmy's, our bar, on the Tuesday night?
Were you there?
Oh, we were down the back. I'm telling you now, when the roof wasn't taken off the place.
What happened? Did you get them out? Or?
No, but by Jesus, there was a lot of men that had to not more or less draw a line between the two.
Did they come in knowing it was your pub?
Oh, of course, they knew it was our pub. And our pub, man says. Oh, it was. I never forgot it.
Did they bring the cup?
The cup into the pub.
Stop!
I never forget it, and I'm telling you, I didn't forget it.
Jesus.
We played Knockmore in the county final in 2005. Mm. The year on the road, 2004-2005.
Yeah, the year you ultimately won. Yeah.
And I never now look at there's look at these are the great stories. And I man says I at the height of time for them. But I was at the dressing room at half time in that game, and I think we were 7 points up.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we were going to win by 14.
Yeah.
And the door was locked. And they were coming, I was coming. And we were all at the door, and there was a little bit of tension. And I put my foot through the door, and I said, by Jesus Christ, you're not coming to Timmy's bar tonight, boys. Kevin Staunton was there. Kevin was from that era. And he knew it himself. There was no way they were going to Timmy's. It was the one thing that stuck in my soul. But yeah, I think we bet them by 12 or 13 points. Is it? We'll see you in Timmy's.
We'll see you in Timmy's. Yeah.
Timmy's was closed at that stage. I think all the young fellas were going, what the frick is Timmy's? These are 20-year-olds that were like 10 when Timmy's closed.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The old men.
Yeah.
The greatest robbery in the history of GAA is you didn't get an All-Star for full-back in 2006.
I was just going to say, I was never All-Star material.
You were that day. Jeez, that was another painful... That was another 15 minutes gone. Kerry have won this All-Ireland.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. And again, at the launch of Locker Gale, Kieran Donaghy goes, by Jesus, I love it. The welcome shoulder.
See, I don't know if that's on TV. I was sitting behind that goal.
Yeah.
So you come on, number 30 jersey.
Yeah.
The armband on.
Yeah.
And dunt him.
Oh.
Absolutely dunt him.
But sure, the ball was kind of up the other end altogether to a degree.
Sorry, but the two linesmen looking at you. So I was like, what?
But you're
right. I say the two umpires, I mean.
But you're, hey, I'm 6 foot two, three. He's 6 foot six. It's always the big men.
I know. I wasn't partial to feeling sorry for Kieran Donaghy. But I mean, you came on, dunted them. The two umpires saw nothing.
Well, it's easy to say, to get away with it when you're 10 points down.
That's true.
They're only going to say, oh, it's true. Send him off. But
were you quick to park them, all those four defeats? You were.
Yeah.
Like a month, a week, how long?
It's not that you're embarrassed. I mean, I've been cognizant. I'm never at the level that Johnny Sexton is at.
Sure.
And he's there in front of us as a picture of him now. What do you think Johnny Sexton felt like Monday?
Horrific.
Absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
And an absolute... I won't use... A disgrace. The words that were said about him.
Agreed, yeah.
But imagine how he feels. Mm. And that's it. And you're going... You don't want to make eye contact. You don't want to see anyone.
Mm.
You just want to go away. You just want to hide and say sorry.
Yeah. Because I guess people have travelled from overseas, you're carrying all that.
It's just, you feel you let everyone down.
Mm.
But look at, this is a different complex altogether. Johnny Sexton knows.
Mm.
Give me time.
Mm.
Give me an opportunity. And give me a chance of getting back on the bike. And that's the way I took it. Get me out. Get me in the club team. Get me back where I have strength around in unity in a club.
Yeah.
And that's the one glorious feeling. It's the hardest time to put on your boots.
Yeah. So at the end, we saw your wife and the two kids. Will you buy them a Dublin jersey now or just wait for the inevitable?
Go ahead. You're a comedian. Oh, stop. Alan Brogan said he's going to buy my young fella the first jersey. as long as they're healthy and have an appreciation for sport and the fun, and the mornings before games in our house is kind of this road to Croke Park. And it's, you know what? It doesn't matter if it's a ballet costume Luke puts on him or a jersey that Hannah puts on her.
I would say,
as long as they're...
I would say they already know the words to the green and red and mayo. There's indoctrination of a serious
Hannah,
level going on there.
I'm awful sad. Hannah, I used to play it. On my wife's stomach.
Stop.
I swear to God. This is around... The night before an All-Ireland final. 2014 or 16, but anyway.
So Hannah in the womb.
She knows it, I'd say, back to front.
Yeah.
But she's gone as bloody smart now. She sings the Blue and Navy of Dublin. And I'm going, you little... And she loves the way it rises me, but she's right. But you know what? It's about football.
Yeah, of course.
It's about GAA. It's about young people. She was at the National League final last year.
Oh, yeah.
And her first day, and she still talks about the hot dogs and the fireworks and the green and red and mayo. It was then it all came to her.
Right, what this is about.
Ah, she said the green and red and mayo.
Yeah.
Next Saturday, she was down in Castleknock GA. Oh, I'm going to GA, Daddy.
Right.
And she was expecting cups and streamers and the whole lot.
Mm.
But it's what it represents and the effect, the positivity it has for young people, young child.
Yeah,
and I think it's absolutely fantastic that every child in Dublin is getting to see this glory era.
It is.
Unfortunately.
And it will never end. Before you go, what is going on?
What's the crack, you mean?
Jeez.
Some crack.
Mayo GAA have ceased all dialogue with millionaire benefactor Tim O'Leary after he called for James Horan to be sacked. Hashtag Horan out. Hashtag truth hurts. Then, sorry for my outburst yesterday. Had a few too many pints. Lesson learned. I'm going to keep my mouth shut going forward. I'm not surprised the Mayo executive said they're ceasing all dialogue. Look, whatever the governance issues he raised are you need to be looked into. You need to make sure everything's been run properly in that regard. I've no issue there. But I mean, you can't have this circus around the team. And I know you kind of, you've spoken to this guy a few times, and you know him, I'm sure he's the best interest. But he's acting here like he owns the club. It's like Berlusconi talking about Milan or something.
Well, no, look it. I'll be straight. Passion and mayo is two things.
Rant. I've no problem if he has a rant in the pub.
And I would say he made a mistake. Mm. He knows it himself. So he does. I think the bigger picture, and let us not get away, this is, and Mayo football is not about one man, one person. Mm. Whether it's one player, one manager, one benefactor, or one team. It's about the bigger picture. Now, I do say that the International Supporters Foundation, no matter what, still have a role to play. Mm. They're not bad people. They're good, and their heart's in the right place. Now, they've ceased all dialogue. Will it happen? Is there some way or form that there can be benefit? Not this year or next month. At some stage going forward with these people. Mm. Like, we've all made mistakes. Tim has put his hand up. And he'll admit it. And the county board have said, right, this is the reality of it. But look it, time is a great healer as well. Mm. And the most common denominator for a Mayo person, a Mayo supporter, in any way, shape or form, is not what they have in their pocket, but what's in their heart and what they can give to Mayo football. And there's a lot of them out there. And I wouldn't necessarily say, Lance's, I wouldn't say Tim, I think there could be a time and a place where the foundation, which might or might include Tim, has a role going forward. But it's unfortunate. And look, it's dealt with. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. 2nd of April.
Yes, with the Lacuna J.
Lake Gael, David Brady. Good man, delighted. And I watched it, I really enjoyed it.
You know what?
Yeah.
I love that I've
seen it and you haven't.
I come in here this evening and I go, oh, in the name of Jesus, have you seen it?
I haven't
seen it. I was going, was this in it? Was that it?
No, it comes out very well.
Okay, I won't.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm apprehensive about it.
No, don't be. You'll enjoy it and it'll be great to have in 20 years.
And you know
time.
What? The stories of Kieran and Alan and Iggy Clark and Brendan McInnesby and Gizzy. Like, Jesus Christ, like, this is an important point. Gizzy was in here working with us. Mm. Like, Izzy was part of off the ball and he was reporting and, like, he was, as he said, in a dark room in Dublin. But, you know what, the positive energy that he gave, and he's dressed like...
And look where he's living now on
he's
West
like
Coast.
Francis, he's
great time, yeah.
Fixing seaweed.
Did you see his Pete in the Irish Times a couple of weeks ago?
Duggan, brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
Look at
it.
It's the people, not the medals.
Correct. Well, listen, 2nd of April, people can watch Lake Regale. David Brady, good man. We'll talk again.
Pleasure, Joseph.
All right.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.